Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas Vayeshev. So, at the beginning of the Parsha, we have that Yaakov loved Yosef, given zekunim hu lo, because he was his youngest child, like he is a child he had when he was old. Of course, we know he was not his youngest child. Binyamin was his youngest child. So why did he not love Binyamin more? Wasn't Binyamin more of a ben zekunim? That was his real youngest child. So the Chizkuni says something interesting. He says that not quite, because his wife died in childbirth, giving birth to Binyamin, which I'm sure he didn't hold directly against Binyamin, but it wasn't the same. There was some sadness associated with Binyamin, I guess, and therefore, I'm sure he loved all his children, but he was especially attached to Yosef, and maybe had something sad attached to Binyamin, so it wasn't as much to him. Anyway, it's interesting. And then it says, so he had the dream. Yosef has the dreams, and he tells them the dreams. So why did he tell them the dreams? So the Chizkuni says he told the brothers, remember, these are dreams of grandeur, it would seem, right? It sounds like he's dreaming about that they're all the brothers are going to bow down to him, which you would think would make the brothers not too happy, and it did not make them too happy. So why did he tell it to them? So the Chizkuni says that they should know, if it does happen, which he expected it to happen because of his dream, that it was because of Hashem, not because his father somehow orchestrated that he should be in charge of them. It wasn't because of his father, because of Siyata Dishmaya. Okay, so the dream he has, first dream is that they're all the wheat stalks are bowing down to him, and that's because just as he points out, because you know when there'd be a famine and they'd all need wheat from him, they're going to bow down to him, and they would hope for his Torah. Okay, and he tells them the story, and they get upset. Anyway, one day they are off, and Yaakov tells Yosef to go see how his brothers are doing. And it says, "Vayishlacheyu me'emek Chevron." So we know Rashi says that it was from the Eitza Amuka from Chevron. Okay, but the Pashup Shad, what does it mean that Yaakov sent Yosef me'emek Chevron? So he says, Chizkuni says that the city was in the mountain. So it means Yaakov escorted Yosef up to the Emek to go off to his brothers. That's what Chazal said, that he was Malavahim. And again, you see the Chizkuni, he mentioned it last week about the importance of the mitzvah of Leviah to escort people. And he says it was at that time when they were speaking about Egla Arufa. And that's, you know, as we know, when he eventually returned, that was his sign to Yaakov, that he remembered that the last thing they were learning was Egla Arufa by sending him the calves. Anyway, okay, then we have that the brothers get upset at him, they pass on him this chayv misa, and they throw him in the, or whatever the case is, leaving out. As far as the psukim are concerned, it says the Bala Chalomos is coming, and they throw him in a pit. Okay, so now the brothers had said, let's kill him. And Reuven had said, I'm going to save them, by Yatzileo Meyadam. So it's a famous question. They threw him in a pit, which we say there were snakes and scorpions in, right? So how did Reuven attempt to save Yosef by saying, oh, let's throw him in a pit? He said, throw him in a tishbechudam, throw him in this pit. So how does that save him? There was nechashim and akravimbo. It was an ace that Yosef wasn't killed. How does throwing in a pit save him? So the Chizkuni's pshat is that that's not, they threw him in a pit originally, but that wasn't the pit with the snakes and scorpions. The pit they threw him in had no snakes and scorpions. It was later when Reuven left that they transferred him to another pit, and that second pit had snakes and scorpions. That's interesting. Chizkuni here says, it says, Vayishmer Reuven, Vayitzilei Meyadam, Reuven heard and he saved them. He brings this chazal, a Bracious Rabbah, that says, Hashem says, the Reuven was the one who was Pasach Ba'atzalas Nefashos Tchila. He was the first one to save Nefashos, and therefore Ari Miklat would be in his tchum. It's interesting. It was a reward that Ari Miklat were in Reuven's tchum, because it saves lives. So, now, you wouldn't think having even accidental murderers would be a schus, but you see here it is a schus, that it's a place that saves people's lives. Okay. Okay, so now, Yehuda says, Ma betza ki narog esachinu mechistinu estama. What will we gain out of killing our brothers? So the Chizkuni says, because they couldn't go around saying that they killed Yosef because of their father. They were going to have to hide it. And it's the meaning of people who take nakama, who take vengeance, that they want to tell people that they took vengeance on that person. So therefore, that was the Ma'abetza. What are we going to gain out of it? Why did they need to take vengeance on him? I'm not exactly sure. He had just dreamed about these dreams. Anyway, that's what Chizkuni says, that he was they wouldn't have gained, they wouldn't have had that ability to tell people about his death, so that's the Ma'abetza. I mean, they could tell people, but they'd have to hide how he got killed. Anyway, it says, also, Chizkuni says that they were hoping, by selling him, that since there was the bris bein habasarim, that the Jewish people had to be slaves in Egypt, had to be in Golos, I should say. So they hoped, let it be Mekuyim with Yosef, let him get it. This way, maybe they would be spared. He also mentions that. Then we have the actual selling of Yosef. This is very not clear, as if you read the Pesukim, it's certainly not clear who exactly sold who to what. Right, so the Pasuk says that the brother said, in Pasuk Chav Zayin, L'chuvinim k'renole Yishmaelim, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim. And we won't touch him. Next Pasuk, Midyanim passed by. And it sounds like they, the Midyanim, schlepped Yosef out of the boar. And they, the Midyanim, b'yimkris Yosef le'Yishmaelim, so it sounds like the Midyanim sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim. And then in Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says that the Midyanim sold him to Mitzrayim, to Potiphar's Paro. So you got that. We had started off, the brother said, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim. Then it says that Midyanim stopped by. They sold him to the Yishmaelim. A couple of psukim later, it says the Midyanim sold, not the Yishmaelim, the Midyanim sold Yosef to Potiphar. Then the first Pasuk in Perek Lamed Tes says, Yosef was brought, that he bought them from the Yishmaelim. Sounds very confusing. Who bought who from what? It sounds confusing. So the Chizkuni has a couple different versions of exactly what happened. One version is that the brothers were talking about selling Yosef to the Yishmaelim. And get this, while they're busy eating and talking about it, according to this version, some Midyanim stop by and hear some guy screaming out of a pit. And they say, oh, look, we got a free slave. So they schlep him out of there, and they sell him to the Yishmaelim. Then the Yishmaelim give him back as a pikadon to the Midyanim. Okay, this is that's a big dochik, but they give him as a pikadon back to the Midyanim, and therefore it gets sold to Potiphar, kind of from both of them. Okay, so that's how the whole story would be. This is kind of like that's the Rashbam's pshat. But here's the big chiddush in this pshat here. Okay, so in what way did the brothers sell Yosef? They caused him to be sold because obviously they threw him in the pit. And because he was thrown in the pit, I guess that left him open to being taken as a captive, as he was. So they caused his mechira, according to this. They didn't actually sell him. Of course, this doesn't fit with a lot of the drushim and the thing with the shoes and whatever. But according to this pshat, the brothers never really sold him. They just caused his sale. So according to this, when Reuven comes back to the pit and sees he's not there, it's not just Reuven who's shocked. Everybody's shocked. And it means that they really thought Chayara Achalasu. They thought he must have been eaten by a wild animal. Now, they did dip his coat in blood to try to show it to his dad, but according to his prat, they actually thought he was eaten by a chayra, and that's why they never went to go look for him, you would say, because they thought for sure he's dead. And then when he spoke to them, he recognized their voice, and then when he set the brothers in order, when they came in birth order, when they came to Mitzrayim, all that, nothing tipped the brothers off because they were sure he was dead. Okay, then he brings the pshat that we're more used to, that the brothers did sell Yosef, and it was the Midyanim who schlepped him out because they didn't want to feel bad schlepping him out of the boar. He'd start screaming, and they'd feel bad. So they just sold it to the Midyanim and say, you guys get him out. And then there was the sale back and forth. The rest of the part was basically the same. Then the Midyanim sold it to Yishmaelim, the Yishmaelim sold the book to the Midyanim, okay, and then they sold it to Potiphar. And he brings another medrash that also helps explain the pshat in one of these, and how it could be sold. In other words, if it happened this way, that it was sold to the Midyanim, and the Midyanim sold it to Yishmaelim, and then Yishmaelim, for whatever reason or however it works, sold it back to the Midyanim, what does it mean? That pasuk I read that it says that Potiphar bought it from the Yishmaelim. So listen to this, Bracious Rabbah. Think about the theory of race. that was back in the World War II. This is a quote of a Medrash. Potiphar didn't buy it. He sees Yosef, who's very good-looking, being sold by these Midyanim. And he said to them, he didn't believe that, he thought that they, these Midyanim had stolen Yosef, and not that he was a actual slave. Why? He said, Tama ba'atmo germani mocher es ha-kushi, ben kushi mocher es ha-germani. A germani, I'm not even going to translate this, but you get it. A germani sells a kushi. Kushis don't sell germanis. Pirish otam yafa. Okay, anyway, unbelievable. So that was apparently the example of a good-looking person versus the opposite. I don't know, I guess. So regardless, anyway, he didn't buy it that Yosef was really being sold. He thought that he was stolen, meaning he didn't buy that Yosef was an actual slave who you had rights to sell. He thought he was just a guy taken off the street, which is, you know. Anyway, so how did they prove it? So the Midyanim said, I'll tell you, go to the Ishmaelim. We bought it from them. So it was based on the Ishmaelim's saying, yes, we bought him, that they bought it off the Midyanim. So it was their Arvos. So therefore, it was as if the Ishmaelim sold it to Potiphar as well. Okay, now it says he was sold for Esrim Kasef. So why Esrim Kasef? So that's the Erech. From 5 years to 20 years, which is how old Yosef was, Erkecha HaZachar, like in the parish of Erechin, is 20 shkalim. So that's why Yosef was sold for that. So now, 20 dinrin are the same as 5 slaim. So he also brings the Chazal that because Yosef was sold for that amount, so therefore we have to be poed to our children, Pidyon HaBen is 5 slaim. Okay. Okay, now we have something very interesting. Reuven seems to be the most upset about Yosef being sold, right? He sees that Yosef's been taken out of the pit, and he says, Hayel et einenu v'ani ananiva. Why was Reuven so upset instead of the other brothers? What made him so upset? So the Chizkuni's pshat is because he thought that he'd be in bigger trouble because people would assume that he was guilty. Why? Because he was supposed to be the Bechor. And then when he mixed up when he was with the thing with his father's beds, when he, or the beds or whatever occurred over there with, the beds, the billah, when he did what he did, so he lost his Bechora. Lost it to who? Partially to Yosef. So he thought that people would immediately assume that he's the guilty party. So that's why he was, particularly afraid. And then this is even more interesting. The Chizkuni says that who told, remember it says that Yaakov heard what Reuven did? It's Vayishma Reuven and what Reuven did. Who told him? The Chizkuni says it was Yosef who told him. Right, all the Pasuk said is Vayilech Reuven Vayishkev as Bilha Pilegesh Aviv, whatever those words mean. Vayishma Yisrael, he heard. So the Chizkuni is Mechadish that it was Yosef who told him. Like we see, Rashi brings a Chazal that that Yosef used to say all the bad things to the father about the brothers, and it says that he said that Bnei Leah were chashudim al harayos, and the words of the pasuk are Bayishkev es bila pilegesh aviv. So whether it's meant to be taken literally or like the Gemara says, it just means he switched the beds to the wrong spot. Regardless, the Chizkuni says it was Yosef who told on Reuven. If that's the case, then you can understand why he would think that people would suspect him right away. So that's why he was very concerned. That's the Chizkuni's pshat. Okay, and then we know that Chazal tell us, Rashi says that he was punished with Yosef's disappearance because he didn't do Kibud Av Va'im. So the Chizkuni asks, what do you mean he didn't do Kibud Av Va'im? They told him to go there. Is it his fault? So he says it's because Rivka sent after him to come home. And he didn't come home right away, and that was the problem. Okay. The Chizkuni also points out something that it isn't exactly saying these words. I'm getting my own a little bit touched to it. That, remember, he said before that, or I don't know if anybody even mentioned this, that the brothers tried to sell Yosef to Mitzrayim because there was this gzera on them that they should be slaves, right? They should be in Mitzrayim 400 years. And so they said, let it be on Yosef. But it turns out that them having sent Yosef, this is what Chizkuni says, turns out them having sent Yosef there, he says that Hashem, Mida, Keneged, Mida, they sold him as a slave, they got sold as slaves. So, in many ways, it turns out that them having tried to sell Yosef down there got them becoming sold as slaves down there. Even like, even with, you know, even directly, like they went down there because he was in charge, and they stayed because he was in charge, and that's how they ended up getting slaves. The whole thing was one orchestration. They tried to get out of being slaves, and that actually is the thing that made them become the slaves, both in punishment and in practice. It's what caused them to be slaves in Egypt. Okay, then we have the story about Yehuda. So Yehuda is removed, you know, by Yerid Yehuda Meisachavs. They lowered him, and we have the story with his sons. So there was Erev and Onan, who were married to Tamar, and both of them were Mashchez Zera. So the Chizkuni understands that they were with her Shelo Kedarka. Okay, so the Chizkuni asks how, you know, and Hashem killed them for not using Motzi Zera Levatala, because they were with her Shelo Kedarka. So the Chizkuni asks, just as Akasha, he makes a whole cheshbon. If you say this whole story happened after Yosef was sold, which is what it says, Vayered Yehuda Meisachav, and this whole story happened, so then that means the whole story with Er and Onan being born and having their own, you know, being Shayach to have kids, and them dying, and then Shayla, and then Yehuda having parents, and like all that happened within 22 years. Because Yosef was sold, they went down to Mitzrayim 22 years later. So this whole story had to happen within 22 years. So how could it be that all the generations happened so fast? So he says, well, back in Four Mount Torah, they had kids pretty early, after 7 years old. But if they all had kids when they were 7 years old, that means Er and Onan were not 20. So they were in Bar Onshim. So how were they killed for doing this? He just leaves it as a question. Anyway, then we have the story that Yehuda is with, you know, thinks that Tamar is a Zona. So the Chizkuni asks, how could it be that all of that Mashiach, basically, the whole Malchus Beis David and Mashiach, all comes from such a horrible story, that Yehuda thought it was a Zona, and how would Hashem let it come out from a Maisa like that? So one answer is interesting. He just says, his question was, how could it come from Tamar, it was Nus? And he says, Mutav Shietu mi Tamar Bashem, Vayetu mi Eshes Yehudi Shoysa Kananis. Okay, better her than others. Okay, this is first pshat. His other pshat is, it really wasn't a Maisa Isser. Without the fancy Rav Chaim's, or, you know, Chaim Volozhiner's famous pshat about this, why was it okay? So he says, like he said before, that they were all Boel, these, Aaron Onan, where Boel her Shelo Kedarka, so that means she was really open. She wasn't really his daughter-in-law, right? It was really mutter to him. Not only was it mutter, Kodem Matan Torah, such a thing. If it was really their wives, it was a mitzvah of Yibum, Kodem Matan Torah. And if it wasn't their wives, because they weren't, I'm just putting together what he explains later. Back in the day, when they did Kedushin was done with Bia back then. And the Kedushin of Bia is a regular Bia Kedarka. You can't be Mekadosh with the Bia Shelo Kedarka. And therefore, they were never really married to his sons-in-law. So, to his sons, rather. Therefore, she was not really his daughter-in-law. Therefore, she was really mutter to him. And not only that, it was a type of Yibum. Now, again, if they weren't married, then there wasn't really a Yibum. Okay, anyway, he says, there's an Indian of this by Rel. You see, by Boaz, right? He did Yibum, so to speak. It wasn't real Yibum. It was, you know, like Yibumish. It was like, the minig was, a close relative did this. So it was really a mitzvah. So how was it from Yehuda's perspective? I don't know, but it came from Tamar's perspective. It was a mitzvah. Now, Yehuda doesn't know it's Tamar. Again, if you want to know how Yehuda was able to do this, you have to look at other Sfarim. The Chizkuni is discussing what I said. For Tamar, it was a mitzvah. Now we have, since Yehuda didn't know about it, so he donned her. They brought her to Yehuda to say, hey, your kala was Mazana. So he paskin that she should go Lamisa. So the Chizkuni asked an interesting question, like, Mapitom, that Yehuda, what do you mean Yehuda was the head of the basin? Like, why'd she go to Yehuda? There was, Yitzchak was still around, Yaakov was still around, why'd they go in Yehuda for Dina Nefashis? Why wouldn't they go to Yaakov or Yitzchak? He says, Yenachanami, that was the basin. The basin was made up of, and usually you need a basin of 26 to kill someone, but, This Beis Din is made of three, and it was actually Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yehuda. And so why does this Torah say that he said Hotziyo v'Sisarev, like he was in charge? Because you always start your Matzchilin Menatzad. You always start with the smallest person, so they started with Yehuda, so that's why it's called Beis Din Shel Yehuda. Very, okay. It's a little bit dochik, but that's its pshat. And it's not just, it's based on a medrash. That it was, the Beis Din was Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yehuda. And it mentions Yehuda, like that's his pshat, I believe, because it's Matzchilin Menatzad. You always start from the smallest person. Okay, then it goes back to talking about Yosef. It says, Yosef, Hurad Mitzrayma. And the Chizkuni just brings these words, Ad Shelo Nolad Shibud Rishon Nolad Goel Achron, that before the first Shibud started, the final Goel, the final Redeemer, meaning Mashiach, was already born. That is to say, Peretz has already been born before the first Shibud started. Because, I don't exactly know what it means, because Yehuda was also born, but I guess the Peretz, that Mashiach would come from him, we consider that the start, I guess, of the kings coming from Yehuda, or the Mashiach coming from Yehuda started with Peretz. So Peretz was born before the first Shibud started. In fact, it makes it sound like Yosef wasn't even brought till Peretz was born. Okay, then we have the whole story with Eishes Potiphar. He gets put in jail, and he brings the Chazal that tell us. The Malach Gavriel came and told the people there, she had accused him of trying to be Mazana with her, or trying to be Ma'anes her. And Yosef, of course, denied it. So the Malach Gavriel came as a person and said, why don't you check whose clothes are ripped? If Yosef's clothes is ripped, then she must have been trying to be Ma'anes him. If her clothes are ripped, then he must have been trying to Ma'anes her. And they checked. And, of course, his clothes are ripped. He doesn't bring this as another chazal that they tested it with an egg to see what the clothes like, whatever, without getting into the details. There was this test they did, and the Targum Yonason brings this, and it was done by the Kohanim, actually, the priests. They did this test, and they determined that Yosef was not guilty, but of course they can't let him go because that would make Ishes Potiphar look bad. So they put him in jail for life. In other words, that's how he got out of the death penalty. That's the point. This trick that Gavriel came and dressed up and said, why don't you try checking whose cloak is ripped? And they saw it was Yosef's cloak ripped. Must have been that she was being ma'anes him, and the other chazal again, which he doesn't bring, about how they did a test with the yolk of an egg and compared it to the garment, so that they could see, who was telling the truth and not. Anyway, it came out in Yosef's favor. That's the point. And it was the Kohanim who got him out of being killed. And therefore, that's why he didn't take their land later on, because he had a karsato for them for saving him. I'm sorry, I think I said the yolk of an egg. It's the white of an egg. It doesn't matter. Whatever the test was, it got him out of the death penalty, so he had a karsato to the priests. Okay. And we have the story with the dreams in the jail. And so the one who is in charge, now the Sarat HaBachim, just so you know, Potiphar, right, Sarat HaBachim, at least the Chizkuni and many others explain Sarat HaBachim, like I think believe Unklaus also says, he was the chief executioner. And the Chizkuni says that the derech was that you'd keep the guy, the chief executioner was in charge of the jail. Okay, so that's how he got thrown in that jail. Anyway, he puts Potiphar, who believed Yosef, put him in charge. And anyway, so he deals with the Sar Mashkim and Sar Ofim about their dreams, and he gives them the correct answer, and then he asks them to help him get out of jail. So he says, "Ki gunov ganafti me eretz ivrim. I was stolen from the eretz ivrim." So he brings that it's because he had a schus that he said, I'm from Eretz Ivrim, that he was zochah to be buried in Eretz Israel. As opposed to, I'm just quoting what he says here, as opposed to Moshe, who, when they talked about him, they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilenu. So it's mashma that he didn't say where he was from. He wasn't zochah to be buried in Eretz Israel. Okay, I'm just quoting that. And then the last thing he says, this is good to remember forever, okay? Because you need to know this. You need to keep, this is one of these things, a definitional thing that you have to keep in mind. The very last pasuk in the parasha,
Lo zachar sarah mashkim es Yosef ayish kacheyu. You know, a little hard to figure out what that meant. It sounds like redundant. Yeah, the sarah mashkim did not remember Yosef and he forgot him. Usually that's how it goes. If you don't remember, you forgot. So what does it mean he didn't remember and he forgot? So Rashi says it means he didn't remember that day and he forgot him later on. Okay. So then there are other different pshatim. Here's the Chizkunis pshat. Zachar comes from like Zachar Shem Hashem Zekatra, that means to mention something, not just to remember, it means to say it. So Lo Zachar means he didn't say to Paro about Yosef, like that's what he was supposed to do, he was supposed to talk to Paro. So Lo Zachar Sarah Mashkim is Yosef, it means he didn't mention Yosef to Paro. Vayishkacheo, and then he forgot him from his heart. Okay, well, that's why this is important, I think, is this just tells you what the words mean always. Whenever you see the word zechira, it means at the mouth. And when you see shikha, it means from the heart. So that's important to keep in mind. Every time you see the word shikha, you're looking at it's forgotten from the heart. And zechira is with the mouth. See, the story, you know, the psukim by Amalek. It also has zechira and shikha. So it's not just what it says, it's shikha is belev, he says, and zechira is, at least here, but probably always, you know, many times zechira means in the mouth. I'll just tell you, end off real quick, this is not a chizkuni vart, but I heard it from the Boston Rebbe. I don't know where, I don't remember who he was quoting, or if it was his own chinuch, but he said that, I'm just adding this because, just to end off, the Yosef felt bad that he had asked the Sar Hamashkim to say something to Paro. So, Vayishkacheo means he caused him to forget. So in other words, Yosef davened that the guy should forget. So he didn't mention it, or he didn't remember it, the Sar Hamashkim, and he didn't say it later. And it's because Yosef davened to make him be forgotten. Vayishkacheo. Okay, I'm just starting to, because it's on my mind. But anyway, the Chizkuni's pshat is Zechira is Bepen, is Shikha is Belev.